Message of grace. The last 4 years or so, I've been on a really, really grace tangent. Really a big grace trip. Studying all the words, dealing with grace. Listening to the voice of the Lord. All about grace. And I thought, Lord, I wish you could have had Lynn Hiles here this morning. Because he's tremendous. He has a tremendous word, as we all know, on grace. And the Lord spoke and said, no, Jim Wilson's the one I want there this morning. Are you sure of that? Anybody who stands in this pulpit, that's the one the Lord wants up here. Irregardless of pedigree, irregardless of education, irregardless of color, it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. Unusual, kind of an unusual word this morning. I think I'm going to pray. Sometimes I don't pray because the anointing is so strong and his presence inside the temple is so obvious that you wonder why you need to pray. And frankly, there are just times when the presence of God is there, you know. And I don't have anything against prayer. Don't misunderstand me. But I've often wondered sometimes when I come up, I wouldn't pray, and I thought, gee, you know. But we're coming into a new day. We're coming into a new and living way. It's going to be Christ that's going to be glorified in his temples. Last week or so, I got a little prophetic poem. I don't call them just poems because I feel that they do come from a prophetic stream inside of us. It's not my poem. It's a poem that the Lord live streamed through me. I'm not a big computer geek, but God is saying, I hear the Lord saying, I want a live stream through every one of you. I want to start downloading some stuff in you that you've never heard before. You've read it, but you never heard it. And that's true of all of us. That's true of all of us. We all, especially here at Wings, have a pretty good knowledge of the Scriptures. There's a great ministry in this building. We've tried to honor God. We haven't been concerned about numbers, showing how many were baptized and how many were saved. I remember when Marge and I were going to the Baptist church, we'd walk in and always look over that wall on the right and see how many that the Baptist got saved last Sunday. And then the seed kept growing in me and Marge. I was a good Catholic boy, learned a lot about works. Catholics are wonderful when it comes to works. So I learned a little bit about works, but then the seed kind of started moving and germinating and said it's time to move on. And then we went to the Baptist church and we learned a good deal about what happened to me at that hotel on March 20, 1976. I didn't know what happened to me. I didn't know anything about being born again. Yeah, what's born again? I'm already born. But then the Baptist started every Sunday. Every Sunday. Talked about being born again. Okay? And that's okay. Because that's their peace, the P-I-E-C-E. That's their peace. The Catholics' peace was works. The Baptists' peace was get born again. But the seed kept growing in Marge and I. It grows. If you protect it, and if you stay focused on the Lord, all of a sudden, the stirring will start in you again. Time to move on. It's time to go on in your journey. It's time to move up a little bit more. So then we go to a non-denominational Assembly of God type. They're talking about tongues and baptism of Holy Ghost and praising God with their hands raised up. Couldn't do that in the Baptist church. But that's okay. That's okay. So that was wonderful. Learned about the gifts of the Spirit. The place I just left said, there's no such thing as tongues. So there wasn't any such thing as tongues. Okay. That's what the man up here, doctor degree, praise God. But something kept stirring. Something kept stirring. It's time to move on. Time to move on. So we went to assemblies, and then we stumbled into this kingdom thing with an old guy named Brother Eddie. We started hearing about a king that was within me. I was always doing this. I didn't know that it was here. But religion had taught me it was... Religion said there's no tongues. I mean, that was out with the apostles. You're not an apostle. So that was all done and forgotten. Okay. He's the guy with the doctor in front of his name. Had to be the truth. Of course, initially, the Catholic faith had to be the truth because there's more of them than there is anybody. I figure I can't be wrong if there's a billion of them that are saying the same thing. Amen? But you see, that's what religion is. Religion is a bunch of folks that gather together and they say, this is what we believe. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. All right, then come on down. Because this is the way we believe. And we don't particularly want anybody coming through those doors don't believe the way we do. Okay? So that right there shows you there's something wrong. Because Christ is one. He's not Lutheran, Baptist, Assembly of God, Kingdom of God, Presbyterian. He's one. We have all these factions and all these different ways of believing. And this is what the Lord has been talking to me about a great deal. Many of our brothers are still looking to be taken up into the clouds. And so there's really no reason, per se, other than to just live a good life and wait for that day to come. Hope that you're wearing clean underwear. I didn't say that. Hope the lady have on pants instead of a skirt. Remember Coney Island when they used to walk across that thing and their skirts blew up? I spent most of my time there when I was a kid. But you know, when you talk about the religious organizations, I know that the people in there, most of them love God. They really do. The men that are in those pulpits, they love God. They devoted their life to God or to something. My message this morning is, where are we? Because I know that we always like to talk about those guys. When I was a Catholic, I talked about you guys. When I was a Baptist, I talked about the Catholic guys. Then when I was Assembly of God, I talked about the Baptist guys because they didn't know. But what the Lord's been saying to me is, son, ask my people, are they standing in theology and doctrines, or are they standing in the revelation of me? Do you have the revelation of Christ? Are you fellowshipping? Is that revelation of Christ in you so powerful that you can't hardly go any time at all without wanting to talk to him, wanting to ask him for help, want to fellowship with him, want to worship him, want to hear his voice? Because I'm starting to find out that God's always live streaming. People say, well, I can't hear the voice of the Lord? Well, Jesus says you can. So, you know, we don't follow on to know the Lord. So we sit in a building like this one, and we let the guy standing here tell us everything. And I don't think there's anybody right now that's walking in the fullness of Christ. I think we all have a measure. The Bible says of his fullness we have all received. And we have. But it's kind of like the little kid that took a glass of water out of the ocean. He took it back to Africa to show it to his brother because in Africa they didn't have any water. And he was trying to describe to him, this is the ocean. He had a glass of the ocean in there. And the little brother just couldn't obviously get, you know, the perception of what he was trying to show him. The kid had seen the ocean, the vastness of the ocean. And he wanted his brother to see it. Well, in the glass, everything, the minerals, whatever the ocean consists of, was in that glass. It wasn't as vast, but everything that was in that ocean was in that glass. And everything of Christ that's in you, it's so vast. But everything that he is dwells in you. Wow, only God can do something like that. So, religion is an organized system of ceremonies, traditions, rules that are used to be accepted by and to worship God. Religion is always a message to help you become accepted by God. Grace is the good news of what the Father, in the Son, through the Holy Spirit, has imputed and imparted to you through the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Apart from what you do, it is unmerited, unearned favor. Religion shows you how to please God. It has them rules and regulations. I'll never forget when Mars and I had our house fellowship. And I was a novice and too young to handle something like that. It's just too great a weight for me. So I went to a minister, had a rather large congregation, and I said, would you please come over to this house fellowship that I have? I really need some help. And he said, well, what is it you're trying to do? And I said, I don't know. I said, all I know is that the Lord keeps telling me to help him build the temple, build the temple. And I said, I just feel like I'm called to build the temple. And he said, well, okay. He said, but before we come over, would you mind shaving the mustache off? Your wife, how long? Does she wear skirts? And if she does, how long are they? And I just sat there, and I started crying. And I think it was the Holy Ghost inside of me. It was God that was grieving. Because I went to what I thought was a holy man of God that was going to come out of the abundance of his love for God's people. I figured he'd say, well, bless God, let's go. Well, he didn't, but there was a guy in Cincinnati named Ed Wilson that did. Ed Wilson came and Audrey Wilson came to our little group up in Dayton, Ohio. And henceforth, that's how Marge and I end up here. So, religion. How much of it is in us? You're awful quiet. That's okay. Matthew, last few verses in Matthew, the message says, are you tired? Are you worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's where Len Howes got the name of his book, Unforced Rhythms of Grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Wow. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy. That's what he said. Do you have an easy yoke on you right now? Is your burden light? Now, we're not going to get rid of all our burdens. And we're not going to get rid of all the yokes that people and the enemy, the world try and put on us. But he's the yoke breaker. He's the burden bearer. And they just aren't quite as heavy when you're in Christ and when you're acknowledging him through all these things, when you're really walking in the Spirit. Sons of God are what? Led by the Spirit of God. Are you tired and worn out? Burn out on religion. Come to me. The Lord gave me a little poem a couple weeks ago, and it says, the night is far spent, and the day has come. The day will break, and the earth will quake. The day has come to see the sons. The day has come to unite as one. One with the Father, one in the Son, one through the Holy Spirit to bring forth the one. The Lord says, I've heard the travail of my people in chains, and I'm now coming forth to change their name, their nature. I'm going to give them a name of honor with truth and grace. What did Jesus come in? Truth and grace. Moses came in the law. Religion is law. Trust me when I say this to you, if it hasn't already been revealed to you, the seat, the throne of Satan sits on the denominations. That's where he's enthroned, in religion. God is one. When I meet brothers and sisters through the course of the day and I try and fellowship with them in the Lord, and they start firing questions at me like, will you believe in a rapture? It's very difficult to fellowship with people like that. I either lie, I don't lie. But I mean, you feel like lying. What was that? But I mean, it just divides. Religion divides. And who's the divider? You know, Jesus talked about the shepherds in John 10. He said, they come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Most of the brothers and sisters say, well, he's talking about the devil there. Well, no, he isn't. He's talking about the devil in the shepherds. Because he's talking specifically about the shepherds. Okay? When you read into that chapter, he's talking about the shepherds. He's talking about all these shepherds out here that are leading his flock. And he says, and a lot of them have just come to kill, take the life out of you. They won't allow my life to flow through you. And this is what salvation is all about. His life flowing through you, personally, individual. His life flowing through you. They won't let the life flow through you. They're afraid of that life. They want control. They want to dominate. Okay? They come to kill, to steal. Steal what? Steal your joy. Steal your happiness. Steal your peace. I can remember when I got saved. I know I've told the testimony. I'm not going to belabor the testimony. But when I got saved, the Lord spoke to me in that hotel room, March 20, 1976. And he says, you've been forgiven. Now go walk in love. And when I walked out of that hotel room, oh my God. I didn't think my feet were touching the floor for 2 months. I'm not kidding you. Everybody I saw, I just wanted to hug them. They could have been a serial killer and I'd have still hugged them and kissed their neck. Now I know, you know, like a little funny story, but the first person I saw when Mars and I came home was my mother-in-law. And I knew there was a change in me because I wanted to hug her and kiss her. And she didn't know what was going on. But I do believe to this day that as a result of the grace of God moving in me and her daughter, she came to Christ. Oh, she was a strong, strong Catholic. I mean, let's just talk like this. But that's okay. She could have been a strong Baptist and still didn't know the Lord. She could have been a Presbyterian and not know the Lord. But she came to Christ. But oh my goodness, I walked for a couple of months. Oh my goodness, nothing could touch me. The problems in the business, everything was wonderful. Until I went into a building. And every Sunday, I heard about my sins. Paul said, you know, when you're walking under the law, you're always sin conscious. You're always conscious of your sin. You're always condemned. You always feel unworthy. You're always worrying about where you're at with the Lord. Paul said there was one sacrifice. It was Jesus Christ. All them other sacrifices, he said in the Old Testament, they didn't work. For 1 year, they worked. They'd take a lamb in, kill the lamb, and for 1 year, the people were off the hook. But they had to come back in every year because they had a sin consciousness. That's all they could think about was the sins I committed, the sins I'm going to commit. But he said, but this sacrifice, which was given once and for all and forever, now he's taken away the sin consciousness. We should be the happiest people on earth. But the problem that we have right now, other than a lot of the religion that we've partaken of over the years, we still see two trees. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And they were both in the midst of the garden. But what we don't understand, and the Lord showed me a principle here. I had a beautiful pine tree up down on the farm, and when we come up around the barns up to the house, there was this big, beautiful pine tree. And one day I come up there, and it was laying over, and it was dead as a skunk. And I thought, what in the world? Well, I didn't realize it, but there was a disease in the roots of that palm, that pine tree. And it was dead. Looked alive. But it was dead. Jesus said, I come to lay an axe. Where? Now, he cut the axe. He cut the tree of the knowledge of good and evil down. It's dead. He threw it off into that place where there's a lot of fire. But we still see two trees. Looks healthy to me. It's got leaves on it. But as you draw nigh unto the Lord, and as you start studying and reading and understanding his word, and it starts coming to you by revelation, you get it in here, you start hearing his voice at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Or you just go into your back bedroom and you leave your Bible out of there and you just say, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. I'm going to sit here. I want to know you. Just get along with King Jesus. I love King James, but I love King Jesus more. Just get alone with Jesus, and all of a sudden, he'll start live streaming. He'll start hearing something. And the more he's formed in you, the more of those leaves of that old dead tree start falling down. Until finally one day it just goes, poof, and there's just you and him. Oneness. And you come into a oneness with him. And that's what we're all endeavoring and trying to do in this hour. And what God is fixing to do in this hour, he's going to shower his grace upon you. We're in a new season. We're in a new day. Call it the third day, whatever you want to call it. But God's doing something special in this hour. He doesn't want any of us to miss out on it. And we can. I hate to say it, but we can. How can we? Well, the Lord showed me this week a good analogy between Martha and Mary. He said, you want to see the law? You want to see grace? Here's Mary, constantly busy, constantly running, constantly doing works. Work, 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 work. Martha, I'm sorry. Thank you, honey. Work, work, work. And the work she was doing was good. It wasn't bad. It wasn't evil. Because you see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when I do all these good works, they really could be from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And not the tree of life, the tree of God. So Martha, always, you know, in those days she didn't have a microwave. Okay, God, Holy Spirit reminded me of that. He said, now, son, you got to consider, she didn't have a microwave like Marge and you guys have got. She couldn't go order pizza and just tell them to bring it on in from Domino's. And I could just see Martha around that hot, whatever it was, hearth or whatever. I could just see her looking over at Jesus all the time. Hey. Hey. Look at me. Like, hey, man. I love that. I think I heard Leonard somebody say, hey, man, the one that got hung on the gallows. His name was Hey Man because he always kept saying, hey, man. Hey, man. So Martha finally gets to the point where she just, she explodes. I'm doing all these good things for his people. These are special people. These are apostles. These ain't just run-of-the-mill saints here. These are special people. These are VIPs. And here I am serving them. My sister's doing squat. Matter of fact, that's what she's doing. She's squatting right there by the Lord. And she's basking in his glorious presence. And she runs over, and she's basically going to rebuke the Lord. Have you seen what I've been doing? He probably expected the Lord to say, Martha, get up, hug her. I am so sorry. No, he didn't do that. He said, your sister's chosen the best portion. I don't know about you, but that might have been enough to make me cuss. If I'm Martha, you know, because I'm not only disliking what I'm doing because I feel totally unappreciated. And I'm busting my buns, okay, and I feel totally unappreciated. And here's my sister sitting there doing nothing, okay? She's not gaining too much favor with me. But the Lord said, that's a classic example, son, of when a person is operating under law. They always feel like they have to do something for me. They always feel they have to gain my acceptance. When they're already accepted in the beloved. The blood. The blood. And Mary, oh man, she just sat there in the glory, having a hallelujah time. Praise God. Brenda, you know, when you get in that quiet time, when you're sitting at the Lord's feet, you just, sometimes, when I go back in the back bedroom, it, whatever time, I'll look at my watch and I'll go, oh my God, I came back here at 3:30 and it's 6 or it's 5 o'clock? What happened to the time? And the Lord gave me a poem a year back and he said, for you there will be no more time nor space, for it will be my mind that will take its place. And that's a poem for all of you, not just Jim Wilson. That's a poem for all of us. God is no respecter of persons. What he'll do for me or what he'll do for you, he'll do for me. Amen. He doesn't play favorites. He loves everybody the same because he is love, okay? So I started thinking about how do I know when I'm walking under the law versus when I'm really walking in grace? And I started thinking, and some of the things that the Lord shared with me. And I thought this was good too. I think it was Lynn Howes that said this. He said an Old Testament preacher of the law, will always say that God is coming and he's going to do great things. A New Testament preacher, under grace, says God's already come and it is finished. Now walk in the finished work of Calvary. Let the Lord do it. You can't do it. Let the Lord do it. Let me read this to you out of Romans. It's about Abraham. said Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. What God was doing for Abraham. Not what Abraham was doing for God. Okay? And that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. He trusted God. God's going to set me right. God's going to bring this thing forth to completion. He started the good work. He'll finish the work. I don't have to do it. All I have to do is stay focused on him. All I have to do is believe the word. And I need for God to quicken that word here. Okay? So he set him right instead of trying to do it on his own right. If you're a hard worker, the Lord says, and you do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. But if you see that the job is too big for you, and that is something only God can do, and you trust God to do it, you could never do it yourself, no matter how hard or long you worked or tried. Well, that trusting him to do it is what gets you right with God by God's sheer gift of grace. See, God's trying to take a yoke off us this morning, brothers and sisters. He's trying to lighten some of these burdens that we keep carrying. We can't fix them. He's the fixer. We can't fix them. The poem that the Lord recently gave me here was, "The night is far spent and the day has come. The day will break and the earth will quake. The day has come to see the sons. The day has come to unite as one. One with the Father, one in the Son, one through the Holy Spirit to bring forth the one." Oh, I think I've read this, yeah. "I've heard the travail of my people in chains, and I am now coming forth to change their name, to give them a name of honor with truth and grace, a name of honor to remove the disgrace, a people with my glory to display to my creation, a people of glory to take to the nations, a people with authority to get the job done, a people with authority to make the nations or the peoples one. For surely this is the day of the revealing of my sons, to bring all creation back into the splendor of the Son." That's what the Lord is doing. And Brother Eby writes here, "The Lordship of Christ, who is the truth, must march through our land, drying up the entire river of Babylon's confusion of religion." Oh, yes, all must first become reality within us before it can be expressed and ministered through us. The spirit of the Babylonian church system has tarnished and dimmed our vision so that many of us still do not see the whole truth. How proud we are, how proud we have become of our deep revelations and our high calling and our vast understanding in spiritual things, when in reality we know nothing yet as we ought to know. Oh yes, we are going to destroy Babylon in 1 hour. But first, every last vestige of Babylon must be destroyed in us. Before we ask God to do something through us and outside of us, let us beseech him to make the necessary changes within us so that we can do it right. The sons of God will get it right, and they'll keep it right. They are the final, only, ultimate hope for the reconciliation, the redemption, and deliverance, and the transformation of all creation. Religion will conform you into their doctrines, into their theology, into their beliefs, but Christ will transform you. Amen? Okay, I know I've worn you out. "So be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with" what? Amen, Pastor. "The heart be established with grace." God wants us to just receive this grace, this finished work that he's already finished for us. What happened at Calvary? all have been forgiven, free from all the law, especially the church religious laws. You can call Father your daddy. You don't have to fear punishment anymore from a loving Father. You can know with assurance that you are forgiven, accepted, and loved beyond measure. And I'll end it with this. Once we start coming into this grace of Jesus Christ, and once the reality starts breaking forth in your inner man, in your heart, you find that you really want to start really serving God. So many years of my life, I enjoyed serving, but, it gets to the point where the burden gets heavy, the yoke gets heavy, the burdens get heavy. But the more you come into the reality of who He is in you and who you are in Him, that the two of you are one, you just want to serve Him. You just think about Him day and night. Your life starts changing. Your relationships with people start getting better. I read a verse 2 weeks ago that really, it was like an arrow went through my heart. The Holy Spirit quickened it to me, where Paul said, I am free from all men. I'm not in bondage to any man. If anyone knew Christ, he wrote the two-thirds, whatever, of the New Testament. I'm free of the law. And this is the part that really touched my heart. But I have made myself a servant to all. He didn't say the Lord made me a slave. He said, I made myself a servant to all that I might win some. What was his motivation to make himself basically a slave, a servant, whatever? What was his motivation? I'm really starting to know the motivation of Paul now, because as I see the Lord face to face and I start understanding his loving grace, oh my goodness, I want all of us to come into this thing. I want all of us to come into this thing. His grace is abundant. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Yeah. Don't worry. Don't misunderstand me now. But don't worry about your past sins. Don't worry about them. Not a license to sin, but like Lynn House said, you don't need a license to sin. You're going to do it anyway. No. But we have to be careful, I know, in balancing the grace message, but because it depends on the soil that the grace message falls on. You know, if you're a super carnal-minded Christian, well, praise God, what you're hearing is, well, ain't no sin on me, I'm going to do what I want to, you know. Well, yeah, you can, but the way, you know, it does pay wages, sin. The wages of sin is death. Separation, you feel separated from God even though you're not. God never separated himself from you, even though you deny me. I cannot deny myself, the Lord said. You're part of me. We never were separated from God, I don't believe. But anyway, that's the message, and I'm sticking to it. And I'm going to end with this poem from Pastor Oscar. The Lord had me dig this one out. Oscar, you wrote in 2010, But Truth is Eternal. And it's this: I'm calling you up to a place you've not known. Well, what place can you call me up to? I got a lot of revelation. I know the Lord. What can you call me up to? I got news for you. We never stop learning about the Lord. We will spend an eternity in His abundant grace and in His abundant love, seeing how majestic and how glorious and how awesome, as we sang, He is. I'm calling you up. I prayed back in Sunday school this morning. Father, we have a lot of depth, but you're calling us up now. You're calling us up. Jesus said, Paul said, I pray that you would know the depth, the height, the width, the breadth of my love. We know a little bit of the depth of his love, but he's calling us up into a place really we have not known yet. We've had a little foretaste. Who'd that sound like? Frank Burns on MASH. But we've had a little foretaste of it. He says, I'm calling you up to a place you've not known, where the secrets of my will soon be shown. The hour is coming for you to lay down your life whatever life you got without him. Hello. Just because we got three cars and a beautiful home, I still don't have life without him. The hour is calling for you to lay down your life so you can take on his life. The headaches, the problems, the struggles, and the strife. If you'll follow on to know me in the fullness of my will, I'll take off the limitations as you get quiet and still. Hello, Martha. Hello, Mary. You want to be Martha? Always complaining, breaking your butt, trying to do favors for people, helping everybody out. And that's all well and good. Don't misunderstand me. But if you're doing it unto Christ, oh, hallelujah. It's sweet. It's sweet. It doesn't bother you. But if in your mind you're under the law still, you'll complain, blah, blah, blah. The heartaches, the problems, the struggle, the strife. If you follow on to know me, that's the whole key right there, Brother Oscar. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me and take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me. I'll take off the limitations as you get quiet and still, and I will show you plainly of the Father in me, which will cause you to change and cause you to be a reflection of the Father and of the Son. For creation cannot be set free until we are one. For only as you see me as I am, and as I am, so are you in this world. Religion says, no, it's that world, somewhere out there, 7,000 miles past Mars. You'll be there one of these days. As soon as you croak and I see you in a pine box, hallelujah, Brother Jim's on his way to heaven. No, Brother Jim's walking in heaven right now. Okay? And so are you. He says, I'm the door. Any man who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we will sup together. Amen. You'll be a reflection of the Father and the Son, and creation cannot be set free until we are two, three, no, one. For only as you see me as I am, can I then bring forth the fullness of my plan. So come on, guys. Let's get in the race to see his face, to walk in his grace. Praise God. I've given you my light. I've given you my Son. I've given you my word that you might see. And I'm giving you my life that you might be. Be in my image and in my likeness. You already are, but you have to see that. Your soul has to turn to me and look at the spirit man inside of you to see your true identity. And it'll start shining through your spirit up into your soul. And your mind will start getting renewed. And I have given you my love that you might manifest me. Three L's, light, life, and love. Praise God. Hallelujah. What an hour we are living in, brothers and sisters. It's believable. Not unbelievable. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we close, for the bread from heaven. And Lord, you said, I am the bread from heaven, which has come down from heaven. And I'm still in heaven. And Father, you've come down. Jesus, you came down to be a witness of the love of the Father. You came down to be a witness to our true identity, because you said that you were the firstborn among many other brothers. We're just like you, Lord. As you are, so are we in this earth. Thank you, Lord, for the reality that you're bringing to our congregation. And as I end, Father, I pray, God, that you will give us the anointing and your presence that we can take this gospel, this good news of this glorious grace, of this finished work of Calvary to the nations. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.